Oftentimes when we're writing creative nonfiction or anything really, we can get very tunnel visioned and we might just really have the camera angle on one or two main characters and we can kind of forget to zoom out and keep tabs on the other characters in the piece. This is Heart of the Story and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story. Hi, friends. As you know, in this sixth year of the show, we are celebrating by bringing back essays that I performed in early episodes of this show, and I am giving my insight as to what it's like to listen back now, several years later, and also the behind-the-scenes writing process of what inspired the essay and how I got it onto the page. So let's dive into today's episode. This one is a fun and silly one and also shows, I won't say my shadow side, I'll say my quirks as a human being. Today, I'm bringing to you an essay that I wrote about going on a date night with my husband and how I basically almost ruined the date night. Listening back to it was really, really interesting because, oh, some things haven't changed. You'll see what I mean. I won't preface it too much because I don't want to spoil it. So here is my essay called Put the Paintbrush Down. About 10 years ago, Jamie and I took a couples painting class in Newton, Massachusetts. It was supposed to be a fun night. Drink a little wine, paint a wintry forest landscape. Each couple entered the studio and sat at a station that had two easels right next to each other. I wondered how we would make our styles match if Jamie was painting one canvas and I was painting the other. But the teacher stood on an elevated platform and began her instruction. She said each partner should choose an element of landscape, like the trees or river, and paint it across both canvases. She demonstrated with her paintbrush. This would unite the painting, despite having two different artists. And really, that's what marriage feels like, I think. We're always doing independent tasks, but working towards a collective goal. I handle the finances and doctor's appointments and emotional well-being. Jamie manages the car stuff and the cooking and the home stuff. But we both work towards a functional family life. So Jamie painted the sky across both canvases, while I painted the mountains. With each paint stroke, we were bonding, enjoying ourselves. Then one of us had to paint the robin on the tree branch. I volunteered. In order to create the tiny beak, I needed a teeny tiny paintbrush. I rifled through the mason jar, finding no skinny paintbrushes. So I used the smallest one they had, and I did my best, but the beak became bigger than the bird's head. My obsessive brain wanted it just right, and I would not stop until it was. Most days, I can eventually let go of my looping thoughts, but I'm still prone to perfectionist tendencies. I likely always will be. It's part of my genetic code. I have anxious, obsessive relatives on both sides. When I was a little girl, my mom would spend hours straightening the part between my pigtails and curling them, even if it meant showing up to a party nearly when it was almost over. Perfectionism is great in my writing and professional realms. You'd better believe that I would do my very, very, very best, but not so great when it comes to, say, casual date night of wine and painting with my husband. So when the bird beak was not proportional to the bird body, I felt like I was going to lose it. "The beak is too big," I told Jamie. "It's fine," he said. Right then, the instructor announced that it was time for a gallery walk, signaling us to amble around and look at the other couple's finished products. Chairs screeched as everyone got up. The couple sipped their wine and laughed as they looked at their canvases, and then they moved clockwise around the room in pairs, complimenting other people's mountains and rivers and birds, except for me. I was still working on my robin. Since the beak was too big, I had to make the body proportional. So I repainted the chest and the wings, but then the body was too big and the beak was too small. The bird was starting to take over the entire branch, like a pterodactyl on a twig. I was tempted to start fixing the trees to now make them proportional to the bird. "Nader," Jamie said firmly, sensing my inner struggle. "Put the paintbrush down." It was impossible. The perfectionist in me raged, "But it's not acceptable. It's not done." I would not be satisfied until it was fixed. Eventually, I realized that if I touched up the bird anymore, I would ruin the entire painting. If I hadn't perfected it in the first place, our artwork would have looked better than it now did. So I got up and I looked at the other paintings. I was still stewing about the bird, but then I saw other partners hugging each other and clinking their wine glasses. "What am I doing?" I thought. In my pursuit of perfectionism, I had missed the entire point. In the years since, Jamie has proudly hung our canvases in every place that we've lived, and I've gotten used to seeing our mediocre painting on display. Yes, my robin looks like a toucan, but a beautiful thing came out of the experience. When I am fixing things, Jamie will catch me out of the corner of his eye and say, "Put the paintbrush down." It's our bat signal. It means nothing is that serious. You're missing the point of the experience. Your mental control is actually destroying the moment. It means stop what you are doing. Put down whatever is in your hands. Step back. Notice the beauty of your creations. Embrace your ordinariness. Nurture your flaws. Then hang them on your walls for all to see.
So it's so funny because, one, I was like, well, my just right obsessiveness is written all over this moment. And this definitely still plagues me from time to time. But also, it was interesting because "put the paintbrush down" is a bat signal, as I say, between Jamie and I, when either one of us needs to stop obsessing and just really relish in the moment that is, and to let what's good be good and not try to fix. And I had a very recent moment where this very same saying applied. I was sitting with Jamie and Gio at dinner. We try to eat dinner together every night, and I had several things hanging over my head, an important email that I wanted to answer, some things I wanted to do for this podcast, many, many things. You know, the beauty and the downside of running your own business is that it's your greatest joy and something you want to do all the time, and it's your greatest joy and something you want to do all the time. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I have to tend to my people too. And I love them and I need to look up from my laptop and I need to relish in their company. And so I was eating dinner with Jamie and Gio, and of course, there was a part of me that was like, oh, I'd really like to just check off that email and this other task. And we had a couple hours, you know, before it was going to be bedtime. And I just thought, no, right in this moment, I need to relish this time with Gio as he is rapidly growing. And I want to play a game with him. And so on our dining room table, we have stacks of card games. So we have Uno, we have a regular pack of cards, and then we have Monopoly Deal, which this year became one of our favorite games. And so rather than checking and doing, I was like, you know what? We're just going to play a game right now. So I asked Jamie and Gio if they wanted to play, because I knew that what was most important in that moment was not checking off my to-do list, but it was loving my people. Essentially, that's what the essay you just heard was all about. Rather than perfecting the painting and making it great or good, it was about just enjoying the time with Jamie. And I think of this a lot too, in that, was it Kate Bowler who talked about peripheral happiness or horizon happiness? I think it's horizon happiness, that rather than, oh, happiness is always just around the corner when I fix this or do that or make this better, really we need to be in the moment right in front of us. And it's something I need to be reminded of again and again and again. So hearing this essay was so funny, because that night in Newton was, gosh, pre-Geo, so probably about 15 years ago. And I'm still learning the same lesson. I probably always will be. In terms of the writing of it, I remember that the very first thing that came to me for writing this essay was that line of dialogue, put the paintbrush down. Ideas come to me in all different forms, but many, many times they come to me as a line of dialogue that I said or I heard that just feels really important. And it just keeps replaying in my brain until I write it down and do something with it. And this was one of those ones where I was like, put the paintbrush down. This is more than a tactile, physical suggestion of like, hey, maybe it's time to put that paintbrush down, but more of an emotional, metaphorical, hey, what if you stop trying to fix it and just be in the moment? And so I knew that that was going to be at the center of the essay. Then when I went to the page, I wanted to set up the night, you know, what it was like to go out and have this wine and painting date that was supposed to be really magical. So one of the other strategies that I used for the writing of this, beyond one that I've talked about in a previous episode, which is expectations versus reality, is that I also made sure to zoom out and include what was going on with the other date night participants. Oftentimes when we're writing creative nonfiction or anything really, we can get very tunnel visioned and we might just really have the camera angle on one or two main characters, and we can kind of forget to zoom out and keep tabs on the other characters in the piece. 3/4 of the way through this essay, I wanted to make sure to do a zoom out to show what the other couples were doing so that I could have comparison and contrast to them versus me. They're all clinking their glasses and hugging and laughing. Meanwhile, Jamie's sitting there quietly and I'm still dabbing the paintbrush obsessively. This comparison and contrast really heightens the tension in the piece. So when you are trying to show tension in your scene, oftentimes it's helpful to do a zoom out and show the comparison and contrast of what other characters are doing that is conflicting with or contrasting with what your main characters are doing. All right, friends, happy writing. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share it with a friend. Like, subscribe, follow this show so that it always comes into your feed. And if you feel so inclined, please leave a review. It really, really helps. Big thanks to my dear producer, Michelle Rado, who has her very own podcast called Daring to Tell. You should check it out. Remember, everyone, every heart has a story and every story has a heart. See you next time.